Our annual meeting for Ephraim Church of the Bible is scheduled for 3 weeks from today. And these meetings are important because the members of this church have the responsibility to approve things like our budget, the officers, the leaders who will serve this local church. And this January is especially important because we will be installing a plurality of elders who will serve our church body. So I thought it'd be appropriate for these weeks, leading up to our meeting, to look at some of the things the Bible has to say about elders. And today we're going to look primarily at Acts chapter 20. So if you want to turn there, that is where we will be this morning. As you're turning there, let's pause and seek the Lord's face and help in prayer. Father, thank you for your word that is such a clear guide for everything we need for life, for godliness, for what our lives should look like, for how to walk with you, Lord, as we meet together as your church. We want to be pleasing in every way to you. And so, Lord, we pray that, we ask, would you be our teacher? Would you instruct us, guide us, direct us, give us your wisdom? We want to be those who are following you, submitted to your authority, and walking in relationship with you. So be at work in our hearts, we ask, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Acts 20 is toward the end of Paul's third missionary journey. On his second journey, he passed briefly through Ephesus, and after he left, Apollos, Priscilla, Aquila, ministered there. At the beginning of his third journey, Apollos went to Corinth. Paul lands in Ephesus, spends about 3 years in Ephesus, teaching, proclaiming the truth, serving. After he left Ephesus, traveled through Macedonia down into Achaia, retraced his steps, but instead of going to Ephesus, Acts 20 verse 16, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. So about 30 miles south, seacoast port, Miletus, Paul summons the elders of the church in Ephesus so that he could give them some final instructions, as he did not expect to see them again. Acts 20, verses 18 to 26. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel, the good news of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Paul holds himself up as an example here for them, the elders of Ephesus, to follow. First of all, he served the Lord with all humility. He served the church, but he was not a servant of the church. His assignment was from the Lord Jesus, and he reported directly to him. He served the Lord. The service he rendered in Ephesus was service to the Lord. And he kept it clear throughout his ministry who he was serving, who he was seeking to please. As you're serving people, it's easy to seek to please the people you're serving. Paul kept it clear, I serve the Lord Christ in my service to you. His service consisted of living among them in humility, declaring, teaching both publicly and privately from house to house, bearing witness to all of repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He testified to the good news, the gospel of the grace of God. He boldly, faithfully declared the whole counsel of God. He didn't communicate only what was convenient or comfortable. He was a messenger sent by the Lord, so he faithfully communicated the message with which he had been entrusted. Paul kept his eye on the gospel. He communicated it fully, clearly. He kept the good news of the grace, God's grace to sinners through the cross of Jesus, central to everything, central to his own life, to everything he said, everything he did. And now he exhorts the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Notice he's called for the elders of the church in Ephesus. Elders is plural. There was a group of men who served in the church in Ephesus. Here in verse 28, he calls them overseers. Elders literally means older. Presbyteros is the Greek word. It's where we get words like presbyter, presbyterian, means older. Overseer, the Greek word episkopos, points to the function. Overseers watch. Overseers keep a lookout. Pay careful attention to. Watch over. The King James used the Old English word bishop to translate overseer. So elders are overseers or bishops. Elders are called to watch over the flock. And they're told to shepherd, to care for. That word there is poimano. Shepherd the church. Shepherds herd sheep. They lead sheep to pasture where the sheep can eat, where they will be safe. Shepherds care for sheep. The Latin word for shepherd is pastor. Elders are also called overseers who pay careful attention to the flock to shepherd the church. And this is a weighty responsibility. Look how weighty this is, what these men carry. Paul says, shepherd the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The church was obtained with the precious blood of Jesus, the very blood of God incarnate. The church is highly treasured by God. Those who are entrusted with her care will be held to a high standard. Jesus says in John 10, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Hebrews says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. James, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. This is why Paul warns, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Those entrusted with the care of others must continually be checking their own hearts, their own motives before the Lord. Notice where these men come from. When Paul and Barnabas first brought the gospel to Asia Minor, Acts chapter 14, when they had preached the gospel to that city, had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders. Paul writes to Titus, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you may put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders. Titus appointed elders. But here in Acts 20, Paul says the Holy Spirit made you overseers. This is a divine commission. So which is it? Are elders appointed by people? Or are they given that role by God's Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. God makes men overseers. Our duty is to recognize and install those men who by their character, by their gifting, by their calling, God has made overseers. When Paul called for the elders of the church to meet him in Miletus, the church knew who to send. This was a group of men that was recognized by the church. They knew who they were. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. He goes on to warn them of wolves. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. We're warned of wolves from without and from within. We expect wolves from the outside, seeking to prey on the sheep. But we ought not be surprised when wolves arise even within the leadership of the church. We were warned. This is why we must pay careful attention to ourselves. Leadership is precarious. It takes conscious intentionality to keep from becoming puffed up, to keep making disciples of Jesus and guard against drawing away disciples after oneself. We must have the heart of John the Baptist. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, I must decrease. Remember, Paul held up humility as essential in the heart of a leader. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. This may seem daunting, even debilitating to any of those who are called to lead. This is weighty, but there is hope. Verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He's addressing the elders of the church. What gospel-saturated hope. We are entrusted to God, to the word of His grace. God is able. I think of the scene in Isaiah 6 when Isaiah finds himself in the presence of the Lord sitting upon His throne, high and lifted up. The train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim, each having six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, with two He flew, and one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke, and I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts." I'm undone, I'm lost. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." This is a weighty calling. But God's grace is sufficient. The good news of grace is able to build us up and to secure our salvation. To Him, Jude says, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. Not that anyone is in and of themselves blameless, but the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, washes us clean, gives us the new birth, makes us new inside, gives a new heart, new desires, new affections. The gospel is that powerful. Powerful enough to displace my pride. To create an overruling desire to please the one who called me. To give all glory to Him because alone He is worthy. Paul attests that this has been true in his own life. He experienced it. Verse 33, "I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak." And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Covetousness put to death. An elder must not be greedy for gain. A heart transformed by the lavish generosity of Jesus to now be generous toward others. And when He had said these things, He knelt down and prayed with them all. Paul took prayer seriously. He lived his life in the presence of God. He said, "I commend you, I entrust you to God and to the word of His grace." And right there, right then, he knelt down and entrusted them to God. Elders, men with maturity and wisdom, overseers who watch over the flock, who shepherd God's church. Elders serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with all humility. Elders declare, teach, testify to the good news of God's grace toward sinners who are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that gives hope of cleansing, transformation, new affections. Elders take their responsibility seriously. Pay close attention to their own hearts. Elders are made, created by the Holy Spirit, gifted with gifts to serve the body, recognized by the church. Elders' lives are to be characterized by prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of the teaching that you lay out for us. Thank you that we are not left in the dark to wander and to wonder what church should look like. Lord, you have blessed this church body, and we want to say thank you. We recognize it as a gift from you. What a treasure we have here, and we want to say thank you. Lord, help us to have wisdom, to continue to walk faithful to you, to seek your glory above all. Lord, to serve this church well, with leaders who lovingly and humbly lay down their lives in service to the flock which you have entrusted to our care. Lord, we ask for your guidance, your direction, your wisdom as we grow together as a church family, seek to please you more and more, and seek to continue to proclaim the truth of your good news to the world, to the people around us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to open more and more hearts to the good news, and that we would build one another up in this most holy faith. That we would all be using our gifts that you have entrusted to us to bless others, to encourage one another, to build one another up. You have blessed us. Help us to be a blessing to those around us. Be at work in us. By your Holy Spirit, grow us up, we ask, in Jesus' magnificent name. Amen. I'm going to invite some of the men to come and prepare to serve communion, bread, juice, reminders of what Jesus did for us, the price he paid to purchase us. A verse in Acts describes God who purchased the church with his own blood. Jesus, God incarnate, shed his blood, the blood of God incarnate, to pay for our sins. That's how much he loves the church. That's how much he loves the body of Christ, believers gathered together to worship Jesus. There is no such thing as believers flying solo. God has intended us to be in community with one another, the church. We need each other. Nobody has all the gifts. I don't have all the gifts. You don't have all the gifts. The gifts are given to build one another up, and we need each other. We're all different. The body parts that make up a complete body. If we try to do it alone, we're shortchanging, shorthanding ourselves. We need one another. We need the body. We need the encouragement that we give to one another. So be the body. Use your gifts. Discover who has God made me to be? What has he built into me that I can use to serve others, to grow in relationship with others, and treasure the church. Jesus treasures the church. We should treasure the church likewise and value this community that he's created. We can encourage, love, serve, build up one another, bless one another. As we serve bread and juice, reminders of what it costs, what Jesus paid to purchase a people for himself, hold those in your hand and reflect on the infinite cost Jesus laid down at the cross to purchase the church as a people for his own treasured possession. And once we've all been served as a body of believers, we'll take that together as a sign of our unity in him, and we'll give him thanks. you for sending your only Son to pay my price. Jesus, thank you for laying down your life as a sacrifice to purchase a people for your own treasured possession. Holy Spirit, thank you for opening blind eyes to see the light of the glory of the good news in the face of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for the body that you have knit us together as a family. Each part diverse, unique, distinct, and yet together, able to accomplish much for your glory. We praise you for this amazing thing that we call church. And we recognize what it cost. And we worship you and give you thanks. His Jesus' body broken for you, take and eat. His blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out to wash us clean, to make us new.